Turn everything up in that little. Yeah. Oh, we gonna keep that. Yeah.
There's no room to be so what the fuck.
Look. You claim you're real, but you're rolling fake. Rolling fake. Say you my dog, but you know you're snakes. Oh, like Machiavelli, I'm about to snap. About to snap. Like Curtis Jackson.
Welcome to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXC, broadcasting Acre, Catskill, Hudson. That was MLK Boulevard by Jeezy featuring Meek Mill. We're here in front of our studio.
Why did you think you needed a gun?
Trying to remember where this feeling came from.
Why did you sell drugs?
My mind was racing and my skin was blazing.
What have you done to address your drug problem?
Thinking my steps aren't worth retracing.
Why do you drink alcohol?
It's all going downhill, can't take it anymore.
Why were you robbing people?
I knew what I had to do when I walked through the door.
If you had the opportunity to speak to the victim of your crime, what would you say to them?
I had to take and take until there was nothing left.
How do you know if you are released to parole and put in a similar situation, you will be able to just walk away?
Because I gave and I gave to my very last breath.
Why should we take a chance on you?
Everything's changing. My eyes went black.
If we were to grant you parole, what type of work would you do?
Trying to go to a time I can't get back.
Thank you, Emily. And these questions are from a parole board appearance.
Yeah, right. We pulled these questions out of a report that the Coalition for Parole Restoration put together. It was actually a pamphlet, like a how-to pamphlet for people who are preparing for parole, which is something you do late in your prison term when you're kind of at an eligible stage to be able to really just make your case for your freedom, which is what a parole hearing is. And as you heard in that, and those, you know, the questions are really direct, are really intense, mm-hmm. you know, and there's a lot that can go wrong and how you respond to those questions that keeps you from your freedom. So, and a lot that you have to be careful about in terms of just the nuance and the truth behind what it means to end up in prison and the story behind that. So, Emily, I feel like your poem was a really powerful reflection of the deeper stories that lie under what gets a person to the place where they're sitting in front of parole board asking for their freedom. How did it feel to write it?
Well, when I was writing it at first, I got stuck on a few questions. But after I, like, really thought about it and, like, sat down and, like, workshopped it, it was pretty, like, good.
Yeah, I feel like you were holding a story together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the pieces that, in terms of you say getting stuck maybe in like the last four questions that were there, was to continue to tell the story, right?
Right.
And to continue to have that. So did that worked for you, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it worked for you.
It did. It worked better than what I originally had, so. All
right.
I feel like it was a success.
How did it feel for you as a writer dropping into like the experience of responding to like parole board questions? I don't think you've sat in front of a parole board as far as I know in your history, but like what were you tapping into for yourself and like telling the story?
To be honest, when I first started this, I didn't know like what to write about, but there was a song that was playing in my head, so I kind of just like used like the first three words and then went on from it.
Yeah, what was the song?
It's called Amnesia by 5 Seconds of Summer.
Okay.
Yeah, it's completely irrelevant, but...
But the I drove by and my hands were numb actually comes from that, and then you were able to flow into this story about... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fun how poems come together, all the influences.
So we're going to take just a short little break here with song Black Boy, Black Girl by Rob Larray. And we'll be back and hear another Hermit Crab from somebody who was in workshop with us yesterday. So, Nahi, Yannis?
Black boy, black girl, you made the world go round. Black boy, black girl, you made the world go round. Black boy, black girl, you made the world go round. Black boy, black girl, you made the world go round. Hey. Black boy, black girl, you made the world go round. Black boy, black girl, you made the world go round. Black boy, black girl, you make the world go round. Black boy, black girl, you made the world go round.
Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio. That was Rob LeRae, Black Boy, Black Girl. We're back talking about mass incarceration on the Word Shop. And we're going to share another Hermit Crab. We heard Emily's, which again, thank you for before the break. And we're back with Williams. And he was with us in workshop yesterday and was down to try out a new poetry form. So, and he was down to share this. So, Emily, if you'd drop in with me.
Okay.
All right.
Why did you have the gun?
To protect, not to attack.
Why did you think you needed a gun?
If I didn't have one, I'd still carry a weapon, but it's no gun, nor a knife.
Why did you sell drugs?
The streets, tough, very tough.
What have you done to address your drug problem?
Me and the drugs fought, and I won.
Why do you drink alcohol?
Replacement.
Why are you robbing people?
They took from me. I only took back what was mine.
If you had the opportunity to speak to the victim of your crime, what would you say to them?
Thank you.
How do you know if you are released to parole supervision and put in a similar situation, you will be able to just walk away?
Depends.
Why should we take a chance on you?
One chance is all I ever needed.
If we were to grant you parole, what type of work would you do?
Community service. I like to help others. So.
Shout out to William for participating in workshop yesterday and writing that piece.
Yeah. And, you know, we didn't workshop it or anything, but there were some parts of this that I, that honesty of it, of, for example, like, why were you robbing people? They took from me. I only took back what was mine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but that answer.
Yeah, it's not going to get you released on parole.
Mm-hmm. Because that's a...
I mean, one of the things that says right in that guidebook, right? And this is written by people who are trying to help people get off parole. So it doesn't mean they necessarily like that this is how you have to answer the questions. But in the, like, the do's and don'ts, don't say I made a mistake. You were convicted of a crime. It wasn't a mistake. Own it. So, like, you know that, and don't even say sorry. Find stronger language to express your remorse. Don't talk about mitigating factors, right? Things like outside influences or why you made that decision. You know, basically all the context that humanizes why people make the choices to get you there are the things that are not going to get you out of prison. Right. Instead, you have to kind of really, you know, give them that sense of, I really did something terribly wrong and I'm deeply remorseful is like the line you have to walk. And you know, and it's remorse for the victim. It's not necessarily remorse for like the larger context of things that have, you know, unfolded in right. that situation. But anyway, yeah, I really appreciate how these pieces, these hermit crab pieces, have like allowed a deeper investigation into the questions.
And some of the beauty of the hermit crab form is that it does literally act as a shell for like more vulnerable writing. To be able to protect that in a way.
Can you tell us where this form came from? Ish.
Kind of.
Maybe. You could yesterday, so I know you know.
I
you don't remember.
Yesterday.
It's like a recent thing, though, right? That's what you're telling us?
Well, the example that I have is by Beth Ann Fennelly from Unmentionables 2008. And it's a fairly newer-ish form. So
I won't make you scramble about it, but
yeah, it's cool. I've got something right here. Yeah. It's really, oh, there's another. Oh. Interesting. So yeah. Use a questionnaire, use a manual. You can use recipes also, which I like to play with.
Emily.
Right? Yeah.
Lighting up. Resident
also,
chef.
yeah, like, I don't know, computer manual, like an Xbox manual, stuff like that. Like, these basic sorts of things that you find that you're like, this seems innocuous and boring.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
instead, you take it, and you're like, oh, no, if I answer this in an entirely different way, somehow I can still reveal something that's digging deeper into the questions themselves with my own writing.
That's really cool.
So, yeah.
So, I mean, we talked about how these questions, you know, kind of that, like, intensity of the human experience that of sitting in front of the parole board. And, you know, it can feel very arbitrary in that experience. You know, you don't, depending on what time of day and what mood the folks who are sitting there doing review after review are in could impact mm-hmm. your case. I was reading this like really messed up article about how this group of parole reviewers had, they were like, people were paying attention, noticing they kept using some random words, like weird words. Like, mm-hmm. and then what they had literally done as a parole board, like, we're bored. So they're like, let's try to come up with a silly word or phrase that we're going to try to get that person to say during their parole hearing.
Wow.
Like, messing,
what?
Right? And these are people's lives. Like, the difference between being home with their children or not, like, the difference of spending another day under the violence of surviving in a cage. So yeah, there's a lot of like really awful stories about, and there's so much bias built into that system, around who's likely, right? The racial bias that we talk about in the system gets fed at every single step. So you're more likely to get arrested, more likely to get convicted, more likely to go to prison, and less likely to get parole if you're black than if you're white in the system. And then the other half of this is that once you're on parole, it's not like you're free. You know, you got an officer, you're reporting in. It's a really hard transition time. And so the other side of this experience is that, you know, folks end up back in prison a lot of time. We've been talking about like what's the rate of, quote, recidivism or coming back home. And, you know, there's different ways to measure that and look at that. Like if you're rearrested, which doesn't, or other things. But something that stood out for me is that for people who are on parole, who ended up going back to prison, this is in 2016 numbers, the vast majority of those were going back for what's called a revocation. So they haven't committed a new crime, but they've done something that's a violation of the terms of their parole. They missed a couple appointments in a row. You know, they failed a urine test. So things that wouldn't be criminal now are criminal. So you walk out and you all these other landmines for how to get caught back on the system right. suddenly exist because of it. So you're never really free in America, even when you've done your time and, you know, major remorses.
Thank you, I guess.
For like that delivering that terrible news, you're welcome.
I know, it's like, great, like, okay. So, yeah, it's not going to
really
be easy.
Really depressing.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break with Anderson .Paak, King James, and some news. And then we'll be back with Walter White and everybody else you just heard. And Shahi on mic. So.
Stay tuned.
Yep.
We've been through it all, though it could be worse. We've been moved around in a state of alert. There's nothing new or sharp about the cutting edge. If they build a wall, let's jump the fence, I'm over this. Cold stairs can never put the fear in me. What we built here is godly. They can't gentrify the heart. Let's just not talk about it. If I make a move, you're coming with me.
What about the love coming with me? What about the neighbor coming with me? What about the seeds coming with me? The people that you came with coming with me? What about the love coming with me? What about the neighbor coming with me? What about the seeds coming with me? People that you came with, you're coming with me.
Took a knee, them crackers took me out the league. Now I'm not much for games, but I play for keeps. And we salute King James for using his chains to create some equal opportunities. Cold stairs can never put the fear in me. There's a movement we've been grooving on. You can move or stay your ass asleep. Let's just not talk about it. Everything they tried to hide, we're taking back for yours and mine.
What about the neighbors coming with me? What about the sea is coming with me? The people that you came with coming with me? What about the love coming with me? What about the neighbors coming with me? What about the sea coming with me? People that you came with, you coming with me? What about the love? What about the sea is coming with me? What about the love?
Update. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Patricia Doxey is reporting for the Daily Freeman that there could be a buyer for the Bear Cafe and Bearsville Theater in Woodstock. Doreen Marchisella, a real estate broker handling the sale, said the property is, quote, currently in contract with the buyer, unquote. She offered no further details. News of the potential sale comes after a judge ordered last month that the property be sold at auction. The auction is scheduled for 10 a.m. September 4th in the lobby of the Ulster County Courthouse. It is unclear if the auction will occur if the sale of the property is moving forward. In addition to the Bear Cafe and Bearsville Theater, the 15-acre Tinker Street parcel includes the residential building, the radio station WDST, and the Little Bear Chinese Restaurant. The cafe and theater closed abruptly in March, shocking both residents and performers. In July, Roundout Savings Bank took legal action after the property's owners defaulted on two mortgages totaling more than $550,000. Local officials have said the properties have been in downward spiral since John E. Kirkpatrick took control of the buildings 5 years ago. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Capital Region Independent Media reports for that Ravenna-based Kurilov, a medical cannabis manufacturer and dispenser, has donated the funds needed to buy fruits and vegetables for the food assistance program at the Hope Full Life Center. The program, Helping Harvest, serves struggling families at the center located in Faith Plaza on Route 9W in Ravenna. The Kurilov support will make a steady supply of bananas, apples, green peppers, as well as staples like potatoes and onions possible. Helping Harvest operates like any grocery store, but items are priced at least 50% less than in mainstream retail stores. Members must demonstrate their need by completing a membership application to qualify. Quote, our products help people manage chronic pain and other health challenges, but we're also interested in improving the quality of life for people in the communities where we operate, unquote, said Kurilov's Nate McDonald. Quote, improving access to affordable fruits and vegetables is one way we can do this. We're excited to be a Hopeful Life Center business supporter, unquote. Kurilov employs 40 people at its Ravenna plant. Read the full story in the Ravenna News Herald. Ben Axelson is reporting for NewYorkUpstate.com that exploring a corn maze has become an essential fall activity in upstate New York and New England. Every year, farms statewide create fresh and challenging mazes for their visitors. Axelson has compiled a list of 29 farms featuring new corn mazes for 2019, including Hullo Farms on Cochran Road in Durham. The maze is open through October on weekends. In addition to the corn maze, the farm offers a petting zoo, hayrides, and fishing. Other mazes on the list include the Elk Farm in Troy, Du Bois Farm in Highland, Herd's Family Farm in Medina, and the Keswick Farm in Rhinebeck. See the full list at NewYorkUpstate.com. This has been the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you heard here.
I'm sorry, where am I wrong? Mama, please don't you cry, I'm sorry. I just called some time, I'll be home soon. It won't be long, I promise. I will be okay, just wipe those tears off of your face, I'm sorry. I'm guilty, Lord have mercy, please forgive me. Mama, please don't you cry, I'm sorry. 145 days I'm counting, trying to hold on, but the time goes slowly. 225 ice cold showers, hurricane hit my cell and get no power. Chained in shackles, my soul bleeds through these four walls. My heart aches after phone calls. Mama, please don't you cry, I'm sorry. I won't call sometime, I'll be home soon. It won't be long, I promise. I will be okay, just wipe those tears off. I'm sorry, I won't right my wrongs, I'm guilty. Lord have mercy, please forgive me. Mama, please don't you cry, I'm sorry.
Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, live from Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXC, broadcasting Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Oh, I'm Shahi.
Walter White.
And
Phoebe still in the house.
And that was...
And
sorry.
Don't forget Emily.
Emily's still here.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was... Mama Cry by YMW Melly.
And we are here talking about mass incarceration, mass criminalization, the way we respond to those challenges in our community using poetry and spoken word as we do. Welcome Walter White to the conversation.
What's going on, man? I'm glad to be back. Love the Clubhouse talk. What is this, the talk show? The workshop. Love it here. Today we're talking about the Stony Lonesome. Mm-hmm. Y'all know what the Stony Lonesome is?
No.
That's the prisoner in SpongeBob.
Oh.
Are you serious? Oh, some deep knowledge.
The Stony Lonesome. Yeah, I know I like to spice it up sometime. We got SpongeBob in the building. We weren't supposed to tell y'all that.
Well, during the last segment, we got to hear a couple calling hermit crab poems. So these are poems that are written in the context of a set of questions or contained within a set of questions that provide the structure for the poem itself. In this case, we've been using kind of frequently asked parole questions in New York State as the tee up. So, Walter White, you also dropped into the poetry writing work with us.
Yeah.
Would you be up for sharing what you had to write?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm up for it. You know, I'm not really much of a poet, but I try. You know it.
All right.
But, okay. I'm going to read the questions and answer them.
Do you want the questions read for you? That can be done.
I mean, if anybody would care to, that would be cool.
Yeah. I mean, I can do it. I got you.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Why did you have the gun?
Because without it, I would have had to run.
Why did you think you needed a gun?
It might sound cliche, but I had it to protect my family.
Why did you sell drugs?
Again, it might sound cliche, but I had to feed the family.
What have you done to address your drug problem?
I became incarcerated.
Why do you drink alcohol?
To escape the struggle temporarily.
Why were you robbing people?
Again, it might sound cliche, but I had to feed the family.
If you had the opportunity to speak to the victim of your crime, what would you say to them?
I asked them what would they have done if they were me.
How do you know if you are released to parole supervision and put in a similar situation, you will be able to just walk away?
I don't know the future, but I can try to create it.
Why should we take a chance on you?
I served my debt. I did my time.
If we were to grant you parole, what type of work would you do?
It's not work when you love what you do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. How was your experience dropping into the writing and the prompts and this topic?
It was fun, you know. It's relatable. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a lot of people that's dealing with this right now as we speak. A lot of people, young, old, you know, male, female. So, you know, I can understand. I can relate.
I appreciate you dropping in.
No problem. Anytime. I'm here.
Shahi.
Hello.
Shahi, you're going to give us a slightly different version of the hermit crab, yeah?
Yeah. Can I go back to being SpongeBob?
Sure. Take a minute.
Are you going to rap in that voice?
No.
All right.
Maybe on the podcast.
Pushing it too much. Yeah, the podcast. We do it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I gotta pull up on the podcast too.
Whew.
All right, you ready? You want me to read the questions to you?
Okay.
Please. All right.
Make sure you got your music queued up too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cue the beat up. Hey. Why do you have the gun?
Had the gun for the family.
Okay. Why do you needed the gun?
So I would not die.
Okay. Why do you sell drugs?
So I could provide.
What have you done to address your drug problem?
Okay. Sold them. Had to free her, rob them.
Why do you drink?
Put down other anger.
Why were you robbing people?
So I could take everything that I wanted.
If you had the opportunity to speak to a victim of a crime, what would you say to them?
I would say, I'm sorry, but not really, I'm not sorry.
How do you know if you're released from parole supervision and put in a similar situation, you will be able to just walk away?
When people was not bothering me, I would just stop. I would walk away. Don't bother me. Don't talk to me. I don't even want to be talked to me.
Why should we take a chance on you?
Everyone deserves a second chance. They deserve. Not a fault we all earn. Running back, it deserves.
If we were to grant you parole, what type of work would you do?
Probably help kids. Do work. Help kids. Probably be a music teacher. That's what. That's how we live.
Okay, okay. I felt that. Mars.
Mars, Patrick. That's my boy.
That's my boy, Shahi.
Maybe Patrick will have a visit.
Clubhouse workshop.
Question mark? Squidward?
Alright, so I just like want us to remember also like the big picture too of like what we're talking about in it, of like what the prison industrial complex is too. Like, thank you for rapping, for showing up on that, and thank you, Walter White, for sharing your piece.
No problem, anytime.
I have a Boondocks clip, if anybody knows that out there. Huey Freeman, shout out.
Shout out Huey Freeman, Riley Freeman, Grandpa.
Uh-huh. All right.
Gangstalicious.
So we've got just a short, maybe like 20-second clip of Huey dropping some really heavy, wonderful knowledge.
Check it out. This is a deep episode.
I wish we could play the intro so bad.
The prison industrial complex is a system situated at the intersection of government and private interests. It uses prisons as a solution to social, political, and economic problems. It includes human rights violations, the death penalty, slave labor, policing, courts, the media, political prisoners, and the elimination of dissent.
I remember that episode. That was a funny episode. Yeah. Did you just say what I just said, but smarter?
But, I mean, it does sum up this, like, the human rights violations at the intersection of control and power and government. Like, it's...
You know, Huey was a beast with that, too. He was so woke at a young age. Kind of reminds me of the little brother from Good Times. He was woke, too, like that.
Never really did talk. Well, unless he really, really, really wanted to.
Like to take a little bit of a break with Refugee by Skip Marley, and also in thinking about the prison industrial complex, remembering that mass deportations and detention centers are also part of this. Sharks in the water, I only want her with me. Bring on the trouble. Some never see her beauty, nor see the struggle. I'm a refugee, come around here, come around here. You're a refugee from around there, from around there. So go and get your people, bring them to my town. We gon' love your people, let's burn the one down. So go and get your mother, bring your sisters round. Cause we gon' love your people, let's burn the one down.
From around there. Let's go.
I'm sad it ended. I liked it, that song.
That was a fire song.
Yep. Hot fire.
We've got also a Felicia Henry piece that's from Behind the Walls, Between the Lines, which, James, can you?
Yeah, totally. Felicia's a friend of mine from down in New York, and she put together a collective of spoken word artists and performers called Behind the Walls, Between the Lines. Yeah, that we're like really trying to use just spoken word as a medium to express what was going on around mass incarceration, educate people about that. So... yeah, she's a really cool person, active, and yeah, just thought I'd give her a shout out and a play on the radio today.
Dope, shout out to her.
Yeah.
I am not expendable. And though you think I'm dispensable, I regret to inform you that my life matters. Well, actually, scratch the regret, because I'm not sorry to let you know that my skin color shouldn't be enough to put me in a chokehold. Till my COD's asphyxiation, I'm really debating on whether you see me or the blackness of my skin as cause for extermination, as if I can infect you with my melanin. My only sin is being born this way. My race should not be justification for being killed. Neither should it be the reason for my body to be target practice and filled with 50 or 41 or 10 bullet holes. There are souls attached to your holster, Mr. Officer. It would be a little better if we could confine it to the police force, but they aren't the only source of the black and brown genocide. Even common folk are desensitized to life as they try to rectify what they believe to be invasions by invading skulls with shotgun pellets. We operate in a system where overzealous citizens determine innocence. Therefore, it's no coincidence that the significance of a hoodie, Arizona, and Skittles are mysterious, but I am serious. I am not expendable. Trayvon Martin, Oscar Grant, Amadou Diallo, Renisha McBride, Kendra James are all human beings, not just a list of names who all lost their lives for nonsensical reasons. I thought we already fought for our freedom to live. How do you expect me to remain calm during investigation when killers are being put on leave with compensation? Justice doesn't come to our neck of the woods because a reduction in population is for the common good, right? Wrong. I would no longer go along with the fear of being the next one, to be on the barrel side of the next gun, or crying for the next son whose mother can only hold on to memories. We are not your enemies. So until I find the remedy for survival, I'll just refer you to the title of this poem.
Yeah, I liked it. It was great.
That was super fire. I loved it.
Super hot.
There are any like specific lines, anything that really stood out to y'all in that, hearing that poem?
The part when she said, I don't want to be the one at the end of the barrel or to tell a mother's son. Mm. And yeah, the memory.
Yeah. I forgot what she said before one line, but then she was like, right. And then like, she was like, wrong.
It was reduction in population is better for like the whole civilization something like that. Yeah,
that was good. That was super food for thought.
Mm-hmm. I think also for me the thing that's some like really important in this is the use of "I am not expendable" and the parallels of the disposability of mm-hmm. people that is what prisons promote in some ways.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I think one of the things that makes me so sad about just the intense way we rely on these insanely long prison sentences as a way to punish people for like just crimes that like it just doesn't add, you know, to take somebody to be like, you can, we'll just 8 to 10 years bye, out of your community, out of everyone's lives, in a prison cell. We'll pay to house you, give you money or give you food, right? It's not great, but like that we're willing as a society to pay that much money to take people out of our community for that amount of time is a just disturbingly sort of like it's like bizarre numbness that we have around the disposability of humans, that like the impact that takes on all the people around them who they can and do touch in the world just doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. They hand out these sentences like they're minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And people are just, you know, people are so used to it and so numb to it, and it's almost like it's right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even when you put in the context of like all the other, no one else is doing this, it's still, we're so used to the American way that it's hard to shift course.
Yeah.
The part that got me when she was like, my sin is my color, my race.
Oh, yeah. That was, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's always the one thing that, like, you can't escape from.
I was going to say, like, you can, but...
Explain yourself.
Yeah. I was going to go into, like, you said that, like, you can't change it. But, like, when you said that, I kind of thought, like, Michael Jackson.
I mean, that's a really complicated, different story, and when I want to hold that, like... Even for a different time. Exactly. And vitiligo, also. Yeah,
podcast.
That's why I said never mind.
Uncle Ruckus.
I think we're going to the end of our time, y'all. Yeah, we're coming in.
We're coming to the end of our time. Thank you for listening. Catch us next week and every Friday at 6 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
Come on, Emily.
If you are 12 to 18 and want to get involved in programming our radio show, join us for a radio workshop at the Catskill Youth Clubhouse every Thursday and Fridays at 5 p.m.
Big thank you to the Wave Farm, WGXC, for making this radio program possible. Juice Branch and Relish, shout out to Juice Branch and Relish Delights, the Catskill and Hudson Youth Clubhouses and Mental Health Association of Columbia Green Counties for supporting this program. Shout out to everybody that's locked down doing their time. Who ain't snitch? Nah. Shout out to everybody that's out on parole and is trying to make it better, mm-hmm. and do better for their family and become better people.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to all and everybody that made this possible, all the kids that come to Clubhouse Work for everybody that's listening. We love you out there.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my mom and my pop. My dad too.
All right, we're gonna play out with Lil Durk, Turn Myself In, and Freedom by Beyonce and Kendrick Lamar. We'll see y'all next week. What did I forget? Oh yeah, shout out to Duchess.
Just couldn't let it go.
Nope. So I get a bond, I'm giving them poverty. No, I can't tell, that's part of the policy. If you don't fuck with me, then fuck you. But I show love and the bottom. I went from Mars jealous to stay shoes. A mirror denim to jumpsuit. Locked in a cell with a curfew. In population, they can hurt you. No PC, commissary and receipts. Fan mail, I gotta reread. New rappers wanna be me, can't be me. I'm gangsta.
one burning to flame.